KFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, man, the vibes are up today. It's a Thursday, best day of the week. That's James Hamm. Joe Brazil's over there rocking his King's beanie. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're the Insiders, and we're here till noon on ESPN 1320. Everybody listening on ESPN 1320 AM on the radio dial, thank you. Hello, good morning if you're on the free Odyssey app. Appreciate you as well. And, of course, everybody in the chatty house watching on YouTube.com/ESPN1320 and Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We appreciate you. And our podcast listeners, salute. The James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show available wherever you get your podcasts. Hope the future is going well. All right. We're going to talk a ton of Kings Warriors today. But I need to rewind. I want to rewind to March of 2021. I'm in Hawaii, as it were. I'm in Hawaii. And it is the morning after I proposed to my now wife.
Okay.
And our plan is to be like, hey, we're going to be engaged in Hawaii, and we're going to go tell every bartender that we're engaged, and we're going to see if we can get free drinks, and we're going to have a great time. That was the plan. We're 3 hours behind, so it's about 4:30 in the morning I wake up. And I roll over, and this is literally, I kid you not, what happened. It's like out of a damn movie. I grab my phone off the little nightstand to look and just kind of see what's going on, if I missed anything. As I am grabbing my phone and pulling it to my face like this, it buzzes. And it is the notification from Adam Schefter that the 49ers have traded 3 first-round picks to move up to number 3 overall in the 2021 NFL draft.
Mm.
It ruined my life. I went from, hey, I'm going to have a nice day, like staying in bed, lounging around, going out, getting drunk. This is going to be great. I wind up working for 6 hours. Because info's coming out, and I got to write these articles, and I'm doing all this stuff. So anyways, and that led to a month plus of speculation of what are the 49ers going to do with the number 3 pick. We know Trevor Lawrence is going 1. We know Zach Wilson is going 2.
Mm.
Who's going 3? Is it Justin Fields? Is it Mac Jones? Is it Trey Lance? Who's it going to be? I did so much damn content about this that once the 2021 draft was done, I was excited for that to be over. But specifically, the Mac Jones of it all really threw a wrench in it, because you had these exciting quarterbacks, Justin Fields and Trey Lance. They got these big arms and they can move. And the reporting was all, I don't know if you remember this, the reporting was all like, yeah, hey, Mac Jones is the guy.
That's wild.
Kyle Shanahan wants Mac Jones. Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter is like, when he says something, it's because that's the thing. I know people who are in the building in San Francisco who vehemently believed, yeah, hey, they're taking Mac. That's the guy. So we did a lot of content about this. The second, on April 27th or whatever day it was, day one of the draft, when Roger Goodell headed to the podium and said, with the number 3 pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select quarterback Trey Lance, North Dakota State. He's like, oh my God, I never have to talk about Mac Jones again.
Ever.
This is the greatest day of my life. Second greatest day of my life. Sorry, honey. This is the second greatest day of my life. And then last night, I get home from work. I do a little podcast with my buddy Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles. Shout out. We do a little podcast. I got my writing done. It's about 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Settling in for a nice little Wednesday.
Right. We're going to have dinner. We're going to sit down. We're going to watch some TV, and we're just going to vibe. That's the rest of the night. I don't have any work to do. And get another notification. The 49ers have signed Mac Jones. And now, he's back in my life. Just hanging around And yeah, he's the backup quarterback. But is he? Because Kyle Shanahan got his guy.
Oh, no.
And oh, hey, Brock Purdy contract negotiations. If they go sideways, we know how much Kyle Shanahan has wanted Mac Jones.
Maybe Kirk Cousins still available.
He's not. he's got like a $10 million bonus coming up that apparently the Falcons are just going to pay him. But now we're back here. And Mac Jones is on the 49ers. And I don't think that they signed Mac Jones. And again, we're going to get to Kings Warriors. We've got a ton on that coming up. But I don't think they signed Mac Jones because they're worried that Brock Purdy isn't going to sign or that they're looking for different options. I think they signed Mac Jones because when you look at the available quarterbacks, you know what? He's right in there.
Why not?
He's just right. When you go look, there's no like, oh man, you need to get that guy. There's no like Sam Darnold, right? We're going like, hey, possible reclamation project. It's like, nah, Mac Jones stinks. And he's available for $5 million guaranteed. Great. You're the backup now. If they need him to go out and start a couple of games, they feel like they might be able to win them with Mac Jones instead of
Brandon Allen. Yeah, to me, like the Mac Jones thing, he doesn't have a big arm. We know that. His decision-making is a little questionable.
Yeah, he's bad.
He's just like a mid-quarterback, but so is Sam Darnold when they got him. You know, so are other players that they, you know, the 49ers are a place where guys can go and get their careers back online. I don't know that you're magically going to be able to teach Mac Jones how to throw the ball further or with more velocity. I don't think that's going to happen, but certainly think that it doesn't hurt to have at least somebody with some experience in the room. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Josh Dobbs was fine last year, but it didn't feel like that was like a natural fit. Mm-hmm. He was a third quarterback for most of the year. Mm-hmm. But like, here we are, Mac Jones, San Francisco 49er.
Yeah, man. And now we're here and I have to talk about Mac Jones again. So help me God. So help me, bro. If this contract negotiation with Brock Purdy lasts into training camp again. And Brock Purdy holds out and we have de facto QB1 Mac Jones for the start of training camp.
Oh, I'm here for it. Just to torture you. I'm here for it.
Right. Cool. I'm glad you're having so much fun.
It's like if the Kings would have traded for Luka. Except for that would have been way better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly like, Mac Jones, Luka Doncic, same thing.
Yeah.
Totally.
Man. Yeah, but after all the years of, oh my gosh, they passed on Luka, if you were to get him after that, that would be weird.
Yeah, but what are you talking about?
No, I
don't. We'd be throwing a party.
Yeah.
If the Kings had traded for Luka?
We would all of a sudden go from hating watching him whine to, well, now he's...
Wow, elite at getting to the free throw line.
Elite... free throw line. It's not grifting. It's not grifting when you're that good.
Hey, 9-0 run, 10-0 run. Luka's going to get to the line. That's what he does. That's God, what a leader. What a floor general. Love Luka.
Right. No one gets hit harder than Luka. No one gets hit harder than Luka. Nobody. So, like, just blow the whistle.
He should shoot 10 more free throws a game if we're keeping it a stack.
That's right.
Man. Just... immediately, I had just gotten downstairs. Just immediately, like, all right. Chris texts me. He goes, we should pod about this. Like, yeah, no, we'll intro. It's fine.
I thought you already did pod before
we
that.
We did.
You had a second pod?
Yeah, and we attached it to the beginning. Like, we recorded a podcast, and then some news broke.
That's funny.
Just a little cold open. Anyways, nothing matters. Time is a flat circle. Eat Arby's. That's where we're at.
Kyle's sad.
I'm not even sad. I'm just like, because again, it doesn't matter. This doesn't change the 49ers. Their over-under is probably going to be like 8.5, 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't change that. Their Super Bowl odds are still 14-1. They're still the favorite to win the NFC West. This doesn't change. It's just like this guy. But then you start going down the list and it's like, all right, here are the other free agent quarterbacks, and I promise this is the last we're going to talk about this, at least for now.
Or ever. It's possible.
Here are the other free agent quarterbacks. Gardner Minshew. Trey Lance would have been hilarious.
That would have been funny.
Drew Lock. Joe Flacco, Jameis, Case Keenum, Taylor Heineke, do anything for you?
I like Taylor Heineke.
Cooper Rush, Carson Wentz.
I like Heineke more than I like Mac Jones.
Oh, I
he throws a lot of interceptions, but at least he can throw.
He throws a lot of interceptions is the reason he would be disqualified by Kyle Shanahan. I have no feelings on whether one of those guys is better than the other one. They're all in a bucket. They're all nameless, faceless quarterbacks.
Yeah, I totally agree.
CJ Beathard, Kyle Allen, they're all just dudes. They're all just dudes. It just so happens that the dude they signed is Mac freaking Jones, who I thought I would clean my hands of. And now we're here. Ugh. Ugh, I say.
I feel for you, Kyle.
I've never, you ever write out UGH in a text like, ugh, like, ugh.
Yeah.
That I've never felt that emotion more than right now. Like, ugh. Yeah. Nah, don't like it.
I think I gave you the green throwing up emojis.
Yes. Strong. The perfect yeah, it was like, illustration of my vibe.
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
Not great. Not great.
Michael McCorkle Jones, San Francisco 49er. The Kirk Cousins of Brock Purdy's is in the building. Whatever.
Want
to know something good that happened last night?
Yeah, what happened?
My underdog lineup won.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Our
underdog lineup.
Our.
Good at everybody.
That's right.
Here's what I want everybody to do. We're going to play the underdog game again. I have a lineup of picks that I currently like, but I will accept additional. Oh, no. Where'd my other one go? Oh, it must have gone onto a different page. That's fine. I will accept. We will accept other entries. So I would love everybody to download the Underdog app. You don't even have to sign up. Would love for you to sign up. Use promo code KyleM if you sign up. But you can just download the app and look through the projections.
Okay.
The stat projections on their pick 'em game. I would love everybody to do that and just start sending into the chatty house your lineups for tonight.
Mm.
Or your what lineup you would do.
Okay.
Or just like a projection you really like. Maybe you see I think DeMar DeRozan is 21.5 points. If you're like, hey, I'm adamant that DeMar DeRozan's going for at least 22, like hit us in the chatty house.
Okay.
Let us know. And again, download the Underdog app and check that out. If you do sign up, use promo code KyleM. It makes me look good. And that's what we're here for. But yeah, Bam Adebayo, we went less than 30, lower than 33.5 points, rebounds, assists. Went way less. You finished at like 28?
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. We were right there.
Yeah, nailed it. James Harden, higher than 8.5 assists. I think he had 11. We had Tyler Hero, higher than 27.5 points plus assists. I think he had 33.
Oh, yeah, this was the most,
it's the first time we've ever talked out an underdog lineup, and it went really well. Yeah, Bam Adebayo, 20 points, rebounds, and assists for Bam.
Wow, and his number was 33?
Way lower. James Harden, 11 assists, we went higher than 8.5, way higher.
Yep.
Tyler Hero, 38 points, rebounds, points and assists. And the number by the time I picked it was 28.5.
Okay.
And then Ivica Zubats, we had having a double-double. And he had that.
Yeah,
I have never had a lineup clear everything that easily. Like usually, like here, let me get another three out of three. Luka higher than 28.5 points, he had 32. Cat higher than 11.5 rebounds, he had 14. Draymond higher than 5.5 assists, he had 10. Like you see, it's usually like a couple within half. These just yesterday's blew it out of the water. It was great. Easy W.
Zubats is on a tear.
Hope you followed along. Yeah, dude, he is awesome this year.
Yeah, he's 26 and 14.
He's been really freaking good.
And Bogdanovich started, and Bogey went for 30 and 10?
Oh my God.
30 points, 10 rebounds? What in the world is happening in this game? Hey, look, I think we found like a secret thing here with Underdog. Because...
Oh.
We were discussing this before. Like when I'm going through Underdog, I'm always looking for things that I think are too low, right? And so things that I can go higher than,
right?
Because I'm an optimist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, there's no way he's going to go less than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when we choose them, when we, you allow someone else to choose the possibilities, and then you have to like answer for them. Like, mm-hmm. I think it makes it like slightly different, because I'm not looking at a bunch of numbers and pulling out the ones that I think will be just like higher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have to be really diligent, because it's so many numbers. Like on the Kings Warriors game tonight,
mm-hmm.
I think it's like 150 projections.
Oh, wow.
So you have to be really diligent, because it can get really overwhelming. And I think that's why talking them out really helps, because I just see like Bam Adebayo 33.5, and it's like, that feels super low. It's like, right, it feels low on purpose. They want you to go higher.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Anyways, but we had just seen Zubats, and he just tore through the Kings. And it's like, man, that dude's playing really well, and he's like, Bam's going to struggle with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Heat did no favors for the Kings yesterday. In fact, not a lot of teams did very many favors for the Kings yesterday. We'll get into some of the scores from last night, but we need to get into tonight's Sacramento Kings game. They're headed down to the, what is it, the dental office? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, the dental office.
Down to Chase Center in San Francisco. Kings-Warriors final matchup of the season, final regular season matchup of the season, I should say, at Chase Center tonight. We're going to dive into that game, and we'll have plenty more hoops coming up right here. And if NFL free agency news breaks, we'll of course have it for you right here on the Insiders on ESPN 1320. Joe Brazil's there. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Sac Hoop updates on ESPN 1320 are brought to you by Capital Casino, Sacramento's number one poker room, featuring breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the Capital Cafe and Restaurant. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. Kings Warriors tonight down at Chase Center. the running bit for us. Every game's the biggest game of the year.
Every game is the biggest game. Well, this is.
But
a big
actually,
game.
This.
This is a this big is game.
This is massive tonight. It in San Francisco, and we had somebody in the chatty house ask us at youtube.com/ESPN1320. We had somebody in the chatty house ask us if it was a must win for the Kings tonight. And from the literal definition of a must win, no. They could technically lose tonight and win the rest of their games and be like the four seed. But maybe three. But from a just math standpoint, and from a reality standpoint, and from a, you just had a heartbreaking loss to the Clippers, and then one of your most lackluster games of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You need this one. You can't fall behind. A loss would put you 4.5 games back of the sixth seed with 17 games to go. That's not a hill you want to have to climb.
No, I mean, like, look, your goal is to have as many wins as possible. That's of course, the ultimate goal, but yeah, to have as many tiebreakers as possible as well.
Yep.
And this is a team that you're up 2-1 in the season series. The opportunity is staring you in the face to put yourself back in the ballgame. Now, the Warriors have been really good, and they've mm-hmm. pulled away from the Kings. You remember, they were coming out of the All-Star break, they were either even or the Kings were up on the Warriors by half game.
Yeah.
The Warriors have blown the Kings out of the water, mm-hmm. right? Because they just keep winning. They've won 10 of their last 11 games mm-hmm. on a 5-game win streak. But this is one of those games where, like, look, if you're going to show up now, because you got a Phoenix Suns team that's totally wounded tomorrow night. You need to show up big. You need to come out with energy, and you need to make this game. Don't do what you did against the Clippers.
Yep.
Don't make it an overtime game that everyone's playing 47 minutes. If you can beat the Warriors handily tonight, it would do so much for your season. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen, because this is a good Warriors team. They're playing extremely well. But that's the mentality you need to go in with.
Yeah, you have to. If nothing else, you just have to go play well. Like, maybe you don't win, but you can't come out flat again. And what was their final score? 132-108 was the last time they played.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have that happen again. You can't come out flat like you did against the Knicks, and I don't think they will. And that's kind of what I'm hoping to see, because the Warriors might just be a buzzsaw right now, and you may not go into their building and beat them. But to me, that pales in comparison to, oh, you went in there and you lost by 20 again. Now it's like red alert. Can you stay out of the 10 seed? What's happening here? There's going to be a bigger conversation if they come out and they're flat again tonight. I don't think they will be. I think they're going to play hard. I think they're going to play well. And whether they win or not, I have no idea. But it's one that, man, you'd way rather be 2.5 back of a 6 seed with 17 games left than 4.5 and not having the tiebreaker.
Well, I mean, it's pretty much over. Like, to catch that team. Yeah. Like, it's just another team that you have to mark off the list. You know, again, the Clippers are in that on that list too, and the Clippers are now moving ahead of the Kings, and mm-hmm. and they now have the tiebreaker. They're a 3-1 against the Kings. At least the Kings would have a 2-2. Mm-hmm. If they lose tonight, they'd still have
Does
it would
go
have
to conference
to,
record after that?
I don't remember. It gets complicated.
Sure.
We can look it up. If you're in the same division, it might go to divisional record and then conference record.
Ooh, that would benefit the Kings.
Yeah, so I'd have to look it up. There's a strict, like, if you're in conference, if you're in same bucket.
I take back what I just said. Then forget just playing well. You can't. You have to win too.
Yeah, you have to beat this team.
I take back the idea that you can just play well and like, oh, hey, play well and it'll put you in a good spot to beat Phoenix and win a couple of years. No, you got to win tonight. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games that you really do. You need to figure out a way to get a win against a good team, a team that's beat you a couple of times this year. Mm-hmm. That's beat you once this year and they just beat you really badly. Mm-hmm. Like, you should be embarrassed going in there and saying, no, we're not doing that again. And we're not letting what happened against the Knicks happen again. We're going in here, but you know, there's a hope that Domantas mm-hmm. Sabonis will be back,
mm-hmm.
and there's, you know, whether Jake LaRavia plays or not, still questionable. But you're going into this game with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, man. We talked about this a lot yesterday, and Doug Christie kept saying after the Knicks game, "That's not us. That's not us." And it's not. We've seen them bounce back. Like, I do think that the fact that the Warriors kicked the heck out of them at Golden 1 Center the last time they played
mm-hmm.
is going to factor in. Like, they're going to take that into account. The fact that they came out and frankly had an embarrassing performance against the Knicks, I think they're going to take that into account. Which is, if you're looking for optimism tonight, it's that. I don't think that this is a team. They're talented enough
mm-hmm.
that if they go out and just play, I'm going to say play mad, like, you can't tangibly quantify that, but like, if they just play mad, like, hey, we're going to get every loose ball, we're going to be dogs on defense, we're going to pick people up full court, we're going to trap Steph the second he steps across the timeline, like, that is, if you play with that level of force, you give yourself a chance to win, A, every night, but B, specifically, you have a really good chance to win this one. And I think that's the version of the Kings we're going to get. And from there, it's like, man, can Zach LaVine get hot? Can DeMar DeRozan get hot? Can Malik Monk have an efficient game?
Mm-hmm.
That's where you start to take steps toward the path of winning. But it just starts with bouncing back and playing better, and I think they will, because that's what we've seen. If there's an identity to the Doug Christie Kings, it's that they're not just going to roll over.
Yeah, you'd hope not. You'd hope that they continue to develop that personality, especially down the stretch of the season, because there's a lot of tough games.
Yeah.
And a lot of tough back-to-backs. Yep. Like, this is not an easy back-to-back, and you need to go down there. I mean, you got this game, you hop on a plane, you fly to Phoenix, and you play again tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah. But no one's crying for anybody.
Nope. Who do you got for Kings starters tonight?
I think we're going to go with the standard. Monk, LaVine, DeRozan, Murray, and Sabonis. He practiced yesterday. They're going to wait and see how he feels today, because that's usually the big test. Like, make sure that mm-hmm. hamstring isn't just, he doesn't wake up today and like, oh, this is super sore.
Right.
There's a good chance he's starting. And if not, Valanciunas will start.
Okay. No chance they try and throw a little curveball. Bring Monk off the bench. Start Keon against Steph.
I don't think there's any chance.
Okay.
Although that's a, I mean,
that's the kind of thing. But that's the kind of thing when we talk about. I think you're probably right. It's probably a very tiny chance, if any. But that's the kind of adjustment you'd see in a playoff series.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope that we do get to a point where we're asking that question.
Yeah.
But as of right now, I just think that it's pretty much straight up. They're going to start who they always start.
For Golden State, you're probably looking at Steph Curry, Moses Moody, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and probably Quentin Post. He started the last couple of games for them.
Mm-hmm.
The rookie second round pick playing really well. What's the Kings injury report look like?
Domantas Sabonis, Jake LaRavia are both questionable. Again, Sabonis practiced yesterday, and the media, we forgot to ask about Jake LaRavia. I believe he was on the court when we got there, so I think he also practiced, but they're both listed as questionable tonight.
All right, and what about Golden State?
Pods is out. Jonathan Kuminga is back after, I think, missing 31 games.
Been out a long time, January.
Yeah, he's probable, which gives him 75% chance of playing, and then GP2 is available.
Probably wearing the mask still.
Yeah.
Had a contusion in his nose.
Oh.
That sounds painful.
It doesn't sound like, I mean, he didn't break his nose?
No, it said contusion.
Oh, that's weird.
Really odd.
Okay.
Matchup of the game, what do we got?
I got Keegan versus Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, if you're just to get away from the Keon versus Steph of it all, which I think is going to kind of be the matchup that defines this one,
mm-hmm.
Keegan and Jimmy Butler is a really good one because Jimmy Butler is a big reason that Golden State is 12-2 since the break.
Yeah.
Or not since the break, but since the trade deadline.
Well, that, and it shows you exactly why you go get a Jimmy Butler, because mm-hmm. it makes a team like the Kings put their best defender mm-hmm. in Keegan Murray at 6'8" over on Jimmy Butler, and yep. then try to, you know, smoke a mirror yep. With Steph Curry.
And we know how effective Keegan is offensively, or when he's aggressive offensively, what it means for the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler's the kind of guy who can get him in foul trouble. So how he does in that little chess match between those two guys is going to be worth watching really close tonight. I think that's a great pick for the matchup of the game. All right. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil, he is also here. We've got the final Kings-Warriors regular season tilt of the year tonight. The Kings need it bad. We'll have keys to victory coming up for you in a little bit right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. Are the Warriors the team you would least like to see, or maybe most like to see, in a one-game play-in scenario? So whether that's the 7-8 matchup or the Kings were the 9-10 and now they've got to go win a second one to get in, because your options are Minnesota, the Clippers, and Golden State. How would you rank those?
Okay.
Let's assume everyone's healthy.
Minnesota's playing extremely well right
now.
They
look awesome.
Right? I think if I were to choose the team I would want to play the most, it would probably be Golden State. It would probably be the Clippers. The team I'd want to play second most would probably be Golden State, and the team I'd want to play third most would be Minnesota.
Yeah, I think that's probably my order too.
You can switch Minnesota and Golden State. I don't know either.
So it's all about matchups, right? And I think Minnesota might just be a tougher matchup. Like if Julius Randle gets hot, the Kings don't really have an answer for that.
Yeah.
And I know this is not to, obviously I'm not going to sit here and disparage Steph Curry. We've seen what happens when Steph gets hot too. Like that can just happen. Great players do that.
Yeah.
But I think just from a pure matchup standpoint, like, all right, you have Keon and Keegan that you can throw at Steph. If you need somebody to pick up a couple of fouls, Markelle Fultz is there. You just have a few different bodies you can kind of throw at him. Maybe Jake LaRavia can chase him around for a little bit. With Julius Randle, if he gets rolling, plus they have Ant who can get rolling as much as anybody in the league. They have Jaden McDaniels, very good defender.
Nas Reed
defender.
Tears up the Kings.
Nas Reed cooks. So, yeah, that's why I think, and especially because as hot as Golden State is, Minnesota's won 6 in a row now. They beat, who'd they beat last night?
Denver.
Yeah, they beat Denver last night. That's right. In Denver. Kicked the heck out of them. 115-95 the final. Julius Randle They haven't lost. Minnesota hasn't since Julius Randle came back. He's averaging 18.8 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 6.5 assists on 51.3% shooting from the field. He's 33.3% from three, but he's 86.7% from the free throw line. They've won six straight.
He's tough. I don't know if that's, again, I don't know if it's totally sustainable. And, and again, you get to the playoffs, and I think there's a good chance that Rudy Gobert gets played off the court like he does almost every year.
Sure.
But at the, I also know that, you know, they have Naz Reid that they can put on the court, and is about a as difficult a matchup for big men as there is in the league. So
yeah. Let's get to E-Biz on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. E-Biz, what's up, man?
What's up with it, man? I just got to ask a question. This is for you, Kyle. Hey, who do you want to win tonight, man? Because I know Golden State is your team, so, and I know you work for, you know, the station out here. Hey, hold on. I'm on the phone. But, yeah, hey, who do you want to win, though?
All right. Appreciate the call, man. We've talked about this 1,000 times. I cannot, as a sports fan, and I'm not going to lie to you. We've talked about this before, like what happens when you're a fan of a team and then you start working in media.
Mm-hmm.
I want the Warriors to win every game they play. Sat through so many years of them being terrible. Like this is, that is in my bones. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Sue me. But at the same time, what happens now is if I didn't do this for work, if I was a teacher, I would be like, hey, if Golden State loses tonight, it's going to ruin my day. I'm going to be so upset. Whereas now, it's like, hey, man, if Golden State loses tonight, that's way better for my job. Like, that's so I'm in a win-win situation, but I would be lying to you if I was like, no, I'm rooting for the Kings tonight. I'm a diehard Kings guy. Like, no, but if they win, I'm going to be like, oh, great. This is good for our show.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think either way, we'll discuss it tomorrow like nonstop as we're prepared for the Phoenix game as well.
Yeah.
But it's one of those games that you're, you know, like I don't know if there's measuring stick games left in the season for anybody, but mm-hmm. this is definitely a game that like you have to go in there and at least put your best foot forward, which is not what we saw mm-hmm. in the last time the Kings came out. So I don't have a rooting stake. Like I'm hoping that my guy Doug Christie is successful. And so wins and losses actually, you know, it does matter. But like when you cover a team as long as I have, you don't have a rooting stake at all. Like do you, when I watch a game, do I, you know, like am I at least pulling for a guy to hit a shot or not? Maybe sure. A little bit, but like at the end of the day, it's like you kind of lose that fandom.
Yeah, man. It's just kind of it's weird. I don't know how to describe it. It's just a different, different feeling, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think anyone out there who is like, oh, how could you not, you know, love the team that you cover? It's like, okay, well, go back and look at my first 12 years where I wrote between like 48 and like 52 losing game recaps a season. Oof. Like that's a lot of losing.
Yeah.
Like I went through a huge stretch where the most wins they had was 33 under George Karl. It wasn't until like the 2019 season where they got up to 39 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Like I hadn't seen a 500 team until the Mike Brown team like 2 years ago.
Yikes.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I'm optimistic for the Kings tonight. They lost Doug Christie's opener as the head coach on December 28th. Then they won 7 in a row. Then they lost one against Milwaukee. Then they won 3 in a row. They lost to Denver and the Knicks, both on the road. And they beat the Nets. Had that inexplicable loss to Philly. And got blown out by the Thunder. But then bounced back, beat the Timberwolves on the road. And keep in mind, the De'Aaron Fox stuff is all happening in this stretch, too. You fall flat against the Magic at home. You get beat by the Trailblazers on the road. But then you win 3 straight. You lose to the Pelicans in OT, you get the All-Star break, you get smoked by Golden State coming out of the All-Star break, and then you come back with 4 consecutive wins, lose one to Denver that you could have gotten,
mm-hmm.
You beat the Spurs, lost your next two. The moral of this story is they have not lost three in a row under Doug Christie.
Oh.
They've had games where they've not played well and then come out flat and not played well again. They have not had three consecutive games where, yeah, the game against the Clippers were like, man, he probably should have put that one away and then didn't, and then he came out flat against the Knicks. That's why tonight, maybe they don't win. Maybe Golden State is just better. But they're in a spot where we've seen them time and time again under Doug Christie. So we have 2 months of data now. 3 months of data. 2 months? January, February, yeah. A little over 2 months of data that says they don't come out flat a third game in a row.
Yeah, they're resilient.
Yep. I think that's the style of game we're going to see tonight. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Stan Van Gundy on the call tonight with Kevin Harlan and Ali LaForce for TNT. It's a TNT game for the Kings, which I just found out recently. You can also watch on the Max app, formerly HBO.
Oh.
Yeah, shout out. We'll have Keys to Victory here coming up for you in a bit on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is there. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil is pushing buttons. Kings Warriors tonight. How did we get here? Last year, first of all, when we started doing this radio program in September of 23.
Yep.
Holy smokes. When we started doing this in September of 23, it was going into the season after Beam Team 1.
Yes.
And you and I were both on the same page that, like, yeah, Golden State won that series, but these are two teams going different directions.
Totally.
Golden State's getting old. The Kings are trending up. And then they, of course, meet in the play-in last year, the 9-10 play-in, mind you. And the Kings win that game going away. And it was like, okay, Warriors done. Put them to bed. It's over. How have we gotten here?
Yes.
What happened?
One of the most dramatic shifts, even like early this season, the Warriors were winning, and I kept telling you and people on the radio, it's smoke and mirrors. It's a great coaching job.
Mm-hmm. They were 13-man rotation or whatever it was.
Yeah, but it's not sustainable. There's no way for that to stay sustainable. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't sustainable.
Right.
They just fell off the map.
They hit the wall.
But when you go out and you make a big move, sometimes you get this bounce, and Jimmy Butler has given them a huge bounce. And what he's done is he's taken the pressure off of Steph and made it so, again, when you have a team that can only focus on one player, it makes you one-dimensional and makes it very easy to defend.
Yep.
They're just not that team anymore. Now it makes the addition of Jimmy Butler, it helps take the pressure off Steph, but what it does, it also, because you now have to divert your attention to two players, it makes role players like Buddy Hield or Moses Moody or Quentin Post, or name that role player on this team, it just makes them look so much better. Even Draymond Green, like, there's a big difference between what was a shell of Wiggins and Jimmy Butler playing alongside Draymond Green.
Right.
You now have a guy who's still a very, very good to great defender in Jimmy Butler. And it just takes the pressure off of guys that are defensive-minded players.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting. I do think that it is, again, a little bit of smoke and mirrors, because I don't know that Jimmy Butler is super sustainable at you know, just to play every night and all that stuff. And when you take him off the court, it does make the other guys around him look very, very, like, average. But for right now, it's working, and they're getting a nice push, and they're heading, you know, directly towards a playoff spot.
Yeah, and they've also had, like, this is what we talked about, like, Isaac Jones the other day. And how, since Doug Christie took over, he hasn't really gotten a ton of burn. Golden State has gotten Quentin Post, a second-round pick who was in the G League, is all of a sudden, like, starting for them and is a key rotation guy. Gee Santos, second year player, I think.
I think he's third but you player? Might be right.
But he spent a ton of time in the G League. Jonathan Kuminga goes down. He gets pushed into a bigger role, and he just finds ways to produce. Does, like, the little things. And that's what we keep asking for with the Kings roster. It's like, can you find the guys that just do the little things? And Jake Laravia. Uh-huh. Jake Laravia is a great example of that. Keon Ellis does the little things.
You're right. This is Gee Santos' second year.
But just to give you an idea, just real quick, how dramatic. So you were talking how the start to the season for the Warriors were like it's smoke and mirrors, and you were absolutely right. They started 12-3. On the day of the trade deadline, so they won on November 22nd. They beat the Pelicans to go to 12-3 on the year. Okay. By February 6th, the day of the trade deadline, they lost to the Lakers to go to 25-26. They were 13-23 after a 12-3 start.
Oh yeah.
And now they're 12-2 since. It's a weird year, dude. Really weird team.
It's a strange team, but also it shows you what the impact of one type of player can do.
Yep, yep.
And you know, the one thing that Jimmy Butler that they will always tell you, he's a winner,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're like, well, what does that mean? Well, yeah, I mean, but you're always like, well, what does that mean? And then you watch him play, and for whatever reason, his impact on the court leads to winning.
It is unfathomable.
And there are people that, you know, that you can acquire that are great numbers guys, but you mm-hmm. put them on the court and they don't have that same impact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest difference. There yeah. are a lot of guys in the NBA who put up numbers.
Yep.
And that don't impact winning at all.
Yep.
And then there are guys that impact winning greatly. And you're like, you got to collect as many of those types of players.
Yep.
Like, again, I would think even a guy like Jake Laravia impacts winning more than, you know, some of the other players that the Kings have brought in over the last 10 years.
Sure.
And it doesn't make any sense,
mm-hmm.
but the way that he flies around the court, the way that he brings energy, the way that he can defend multiple positions, yep. doesn't matter what he's scoring or anything else, it's all about impacting winning.
Yep, that's it. Speaking of impacting winning, let's get to keys to victory tonight for the Kings against Golden State. James Hamm, what's your first key to victory?
No more letdown games.
Yeah.
You can, like, again, the Kings may win, they may lose this game. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can't have is another New York Knicks situation where all of a sudden that's who you are. That's who you are down the stretch. That you're no longer a team that is fighting for a playoff spot. You're a team that's hanging on by a thread.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what tonight, if they get blown out tonight, would feel like.
Yeah, losing tonight would be brutal. Getting blown out tonight would lead to some bigger questions
mm-hmm.
for me anyway. I think that's a good key. Number one for me, you got to defend Jimmy Butler without fouling. One of the things he's been very good at is when Golden State's offense is stuck in the mud, which will happen a couple times a game, he just starts getting to the line or just starts forcing the issue, getting into the paint, getting defenders around him, spraying out for open threes, but you have to defend him without fouling. You can't let him start slowing the game down, and all of a sudden now he's got 27 because he's 13 of 15 from the free throw line, and now Keegan Murray is in foul trouble. That's not what you want here. You have to figure out a way to keep Jimmy Butler from getting to the free throw line and putting Keegan Murray in a precarious foul situation.
Yeah, I'm shocked. He's averaging 7.7 free throw attempts per game with the Warriors.
Man.
I mean, that just is crazy, especially he was averaging 6.4 with the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this has always been around what he, you know, he's had a 9.1 and a couple of 8s, 8.7.
Mm-hmm.
But 7.7 free throw attempts is wild. So you're right. That's a good key, Kyle.
Number two.
Keep the focus on Curry.
This is also my second key.
Yeah, whatever you got to do. I love when the Kings send Keon Ellis and then have Domantas Sabonis
mm-hmm.
come up and show on mm-hmm. on Steph and just get the ball out of his hands. I think the Kings have done a great job of following him, of just chasing him all over the court. It's a little different with Jimmy Butler there.
I agree.
And the last time they played, they shut Steph down pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And they still...
They have 14-3. He had 12 assists.
Yeah, yeah. So they were able to get it to other people, and they were able to beat the Kings. But yeah, this is it's a big one. You got to figure out a way to slow down Steph, and they've done a good job of that.
Yep.
But you got to figure out a way to do that while not letting three other guys, Moses Moody, Quentin Post, like yeah. hit you for 15 points.
That's a big deal with Sabonis playing, is because I don't think you can send Valanciunas out near the timeline the same way.
No.
Because I think he'll just get cooked.
Well, that and...
Now you're playing 5-on-3.
I think Valanciunas will, like, throw Quentin Post around like a rag doll in the post. Sure. But Quentin Post can light him up from the perimeter, and that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever you've been doing against Steph, just keep doing it until it doesn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
His highest scoring game of the year was 26 points against the Kings, and that was in the 30-point Kings win at Chase Center.
Oh,
so just keep doing whatever you've been doing against Steph, and if it doesn't work, then you can adjust then. But I'd start there. Number three.
Play with physicality. Yep. To me, that's what happened with the Knicks. The Knicks came out and just punched the Kings in the face, and the Kings did not have a way to respond at all.
Yep. That's a big one for sure. Number three for me ties in a little bit to number two. You got to live with Gary Payton II and Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green shooting open threes.
Yep.
If that is what your defensive strategy winds up and you just got Gary Payton II hanging out in the corner and he's blazing away wide open, if they start knocking him down, you tip your hat. For me, you don't want to get in a scramble situation where a GP2 catches it in the corner and all of a sudden you have somebody closing out. Now he puts it on the deck and now everybody's in rotation and it's Steph that winds up with the wide open three.
Yeah.
It's not what you want.
No,
Breaking news.
You got to sag off of those guys. You do have to defend Post. You got to defend Moody.
Yeah, Quentin Post's a good shooter.
For whatever reason, Moody has torched the Kings every time he's ever played them.
He torches everyone, man. Good player.
And then they send him back to the bench. Like, hey, 14 points, 15 points, 14 minutes. Sorry, we don't have any more minutes for you tonight.
Yeah.
Like, all right, that's a head scratcher.
Yeah. Interested to see what Jonathan Kuminga looks like tonight and how much he plays and what his role is.
I'm interested to see if he upsets the apple cart there.
Yeah.
If his play style is not conducive to what they're doing and if impacts them greatly.
Yeah. If it does, he's not going to play.
Mm.
Steve Kerr is not shy about sitting guys down. All right. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's behind the glass. The latest iteration of Kings Warriors is tonight. Can't wait to talk about it with you tomorrow on the Insiders at 10 a.m. right here. On ESPN 1320, that is Sacramento's sports leader. Stan Van Gundy next. Yeah, Stan Van. Here we go.